Hey, everybody, welcome in to the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, I'm your host, Connor Newcomb, and we will start today just by looking back a little bit at yesterday's spring training game. Of course, it was the second one of the season on Masson, so if you got a chance to watch the Orioles a little bit yesterday in a 4-3 spring training victory over the Atlanta Braves. Starting for the Braves was Sean Newcomb, no relation to me, but the Orioles got to him a little bit with a couple of runs. Asher Wojciechowski got the start on the other side for the Orioles, one run over two innings. Bruce Zimmerman got out there in spring training. Of course, the local Baltimore kid went to Loyola High School. He gave up a home run on his first pitch of spring training, but he turned it around to go two innings after that, just allowing that one run. And then the Orioles kind of let loose the bullpen, and some guys had some pretty good appearances for Baltimore out of the pen. The big ones, Eric Hanhold got the save, couple of strikeouts in a scoreless inning. Brandon Klein, scoreless inning with a K. Evan Phillips, scoreless inning with a K. And Sean Armstrong, who we'll talk about a little bit later in this episode, had two Ks in a scoreless inning. Hanser Alberto went 2-for-3 at the plate, as did Rio Ruiz. Those were the only two multi-hit games for the Orioles. Ryan McKenna picked up an RBI with a hit in this one. And Dilson Herrera had a nice game as well for Baltimore, as he picked up a double in this one. Did strike out a couple of times as well, but obviously, you don't make too much of these spring training games, but you just want to look at how some guys did, and you especially want to watch some of the younger guys. You know, how the vets do is not really as important, which is why it was exciting to see Bruce Zimmerman get out there. But especially speaking of the pitching, today we will continue our 2020 player preview episodes. Remember, yesterday we had a couple of staple left-handers in the Orioles bullpen. We talked about Richard Bleier and Paul Fry on yesterday's episode. Today we'll do a couple of staple righties, a couple guys who, you know, may not play the largest roles out of the bullpen, but you pretty much feel like are going to be in there on opening day, and there's really not much of a question about it. And that's Sean Armstrong and Miguel Castro, as we're going to look at those two guys today. And we'll start with Armstrong, who pitched that scoreless inning, no hits, couple of strikeouts yesterday in the spring training victory over the Braves. And Armstrong's been in a couple roles since joining the Orioles, and he came to Baltimore last season. He started his major league career all the way back in 2015, and was an 18th round pick of the Indians back in 2011 out of ECU, and made it to the big leagues of Cleveland in 2015. He was with Cleveland through 2017. Then he was in Seattle in 2018, and then, of course, was with Seattle at the beginning of last year until he got put on waivers, and the Orioles claimed him on April 28th of last season. So he spent most of the year in Baltimore. And with the Orioles last year, for Sean Armstrong, the right-hander who will be in his age 29 season this year, 51 games for Baltimore, a 5.13 ERA. And in 54 and a third innings, he allowed 58 hits. He struck out 60, and he walked 26 opposing batters. And the thought is this year, you know, he did pick up four saves. He got a couple chances at the end of the bullpen, ended up finishing nine games, actually, for the Orioles last year. And he should get that chance. We could see him maybe get a chance as an opener at some point if the Orioles want to keep going with that. But Sean Armstrong is just kind of a guy you're going to put in the middle of that bullpen. You know, maybe on a more competitive team, he may not have a role, but on this Orioles team, you'll see a guy, you know, with a fastball in the low 90s, and he's got a cutter and a breaking ball that he uses, and you'll probably see him in the middle innings. Maybe, you know, he'll get some high leverage chances, but mostly in the middle innings. And I think the kind of interesting thing about Armstrong last year, you look at the splits, he, you know, really got lefties out at a high clip last year. Not so much righties. Lefties only hit 209 against him. Righties hit 324. And all of the power against him came against the righties. However, a lot more strikeouts against righties, although he did face more right-handers last year. He was pretty consistent throughout the season. First half, second half, ERA is fairly identical. Last year, his best month came in May, which was his first with the Orioles, which kind of gave you a glimpse into what he could be. 11 innings, 11 strikeouts, a 2.45 ERA, but he's a guy who can strike guys out at times, and you know, he's got some okay stuff, and he's not going to be a put-away guy. He's not going to be your closer. But I just think looking at Sean Armstrong, what the Orioles want from him this year, I mean, even though the ERA was at 5.13 last year, just get something similar to what he gave Baltimore in 2019, a guy who can bring in the fifth and the sixth if the starter's not going so well. You can bring him in late to get a couple of batters out. If you'd like, he can get lefties out, gets them out at a better rate than righties, which is something you love from a right-handed reliever like Armstrong. But really all you're asking for is have another solid season, stay off the injured list, and maybe give one more bridge year before some of these younger guys in the bullpen come up. And I think Armstrong, unless he really gets shelled, you know, throughout the first couple months of the season, should stick with the Orioles throughout the most of 2020. But the guy I really wanted to focus on more of the two kind of staple righties is Miguel Castro. This will be just his age 25 season this year. He turned 25 in late December, the 6'7 righty out of the Dominican Republic. And, you know, it's kind of crazy because you feel like he's been around Baltimore forever at this point. But he's just 25. He was signed very early, obviously, out of the Dominican Republic by the Toronto Blue Jays at age 17. He started playing for the Blue Jays affiliates down in the Dominican Summer League and then kind of started working his way up, found his way over to Colorado eventually, and then made his way to the Orioles. But, you know, he is always someone who it's felt like he has a lot more in the tank or could assume a bigger role out of the bullpen. Now, for Castro, he's been in Baltimore since 2017. In that 2017 season for Castro, he, with the Orioles at least, spent a little time in Bowie, but with the Orioles, 39 games. He did make one start that year and had a 3.53 ERA. In 66 and a third innings, he only struck out 38 and he walked 28. You know, the strikeout numbers really have never been there as much as I feel like they should be for Miguel Castro. Then he followed that up in 2018 with another okay solid season out of the bullpen. 63 games this time. They upped the workload again. He made one start in 2018, a 3.96 ERA, and 86 and a third innings. This is when the control really lost it for him. 57 Ks, but 50 walks in 86 innings for Castro in 2018. And then he comes back last year again, heavily used out of the bullpen, 65 games for the Orioles, a 4.66 ERA in 73 and a third innings, 71 strikeouts, which was by far kind of the best strikeout number. That was almost 9 strikeouts per 9. That was his best number by far at the big league level of his career. And then the 41 walks. So, you know, the walks were still pretty similar in the walks per 9. They just went down a touch from 2018 to 2019, but were still a huge issue. And really the reason I like talking about Miguel Castro, because when he came over here in 2017, at least, you know, broad numbers-wise, like ERA, that was probably his best year. But you kind of watched him pitch that year, and he's got that sinking two-seam fastball, which he throws, you know, around 97, 98, and he throws it just over 50% of the time, and it can run up there. You know, we've seen him touch 100 before with movement. It's a nasty pitch, and you see that slider throws it about 30% of the time. It's a good pitch, and he throws in kind of that turbo changeup that runs away from lefties. He's got three good pitches, you know, for a reliever who throws that hard with that much movement. You always just felt like, you know, the Orioles thought about keeping him as a starter when they got him, eventually just put him in the bullpen, and that's where he's stuck. But it just felt like he could be a closer and had closer stuff, and he got out of some big jams. I remember in that 2017 season, there were a couple times where he was in the game with the bases loaded and nobody out and got out of it without allowing a run. And it just feels like a guy like Castro should be better statistically than he is with the stuff that he goes out there with on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, you look at his scouting reports as a prospect, you know, back in 2016, and they've got the fastball rated almost as highly as you can, a 70 to 80 fastball on a 20 to 80 range. And it's just got so much movement, so much life, and it almost hits 100, that you just feel like he should be better. And he's a guy who gets righties out at a better clip, and he faces a lot more righties, but it's not like lefties kill him or anything last year or in his career. And, you know, last year he got better as the season went on. He had really good June, July, August. Didn't pitch too much in September, but those 3 months before that, he was really good for the Orioles. The strikeouts started to go up a little bit. The walks were still there, but the ERA went down after a really, really bad start to the season for Miguel Castro. If you remember in March and April last year, I mean, he was just getting clobbered. He had pitched 14 and two-thirds innings in March and April, and he had allowed 14 earned runs in just that, you know, month and an extra couple days at the end of March. And then that really, you know, set the tone for what his ERA ended up being last year. And he pulled it back together a little bit in those next 3 months and showed what he can do. But I think it's just really interesting. He strikes out the righties at a really high clip, but it feels like he could strike out more lefties, you know, because of the movement on that fastball. And obviously Castro, you know, there's no doubt he'll be on the opening day roster, that 26-man group for the Orioles on March 26th, and he'll be a guy who can maybe be an opener if you want. He can definitely pitch more than one inning out of the bullpen. You know, he could be a guy who you think about if the Orioles do trade Michael Givens for that closer role, although I think Hunter Harvey has a good shot as well, because Castro's got the stuff, and I still just don't think he's put it all together yet in Baltimore. And I think the Orioles are going to look for him to make that next step this year. You know, he's not a free agent until 2023. He'll be arbitration eligible in 2021, and he still has an option as well, which is big for a guy at his point right now. He'll make just over $1 million in 2020 at the major league level. And the Orioles have him around for a while, not a guy they're going to give up on, because listen, he's going to be 25 this year. You know, he's been around the block for a little while, but he came up really early, and I still think he has a lot of chance to grow as a pitcher. And I think this is the year, with all these innings under his belt, that maybe he can take that jump, really start to work on the command, because the 5 walks per 9 is not good for a reliever like him who's going to come in, you know, only for a couple innings, come in for in some tense moments. You can't be walking that many guys with that kind of stuff. And I think the other issue is, with a guy with that high of a walk rate, with that good of stuff, you can sometimes get by if your strikeout rate is really high. And he got the strikeout rate up last year, but before that, it wasn't there at all to support the amount of guys he was walking. So I think this will be a big year for Miguel Castro. And if he can put it all together this year, or at least somewhat together, I think he could assume maybe a closer role, a back-end role for the Orioles down the stretch. And listen, the key point here as we finish up on Castro, 25 years old. He's got so much baseball to play. He's got that good stuff on the mound. He's 6'7". He's imposing to other hitters. He got his chain back after it was stolen from him. You know, kind of a scary moment for him in the offseason when he was robbed down in the Dominican Republic. But he, you know, got his chain back and has talked about how that has affected him. And, you know, maybe we see an advanced Miguel Castro here in 2020. And again, just 25 years old. I think that's the big thing that you got to focus on. And he's still such a young pitcher. And I think this could be the year that he starts to figure it out. If the walks can go down and the strikeouts can go up, I don't even think it's a huge deal if the ERA is still up in the fours this year. But if you can get the strikeouts up and the walks down, that's a big thing to focus on for Castro in 2020. So Sean Armstrong and Miguel Castro, a couple of righties, you got to expect they will be on the opening day roster and play some key roles in the Orioles bullpen in 2020. So that'll do it for today's episode. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to have on a special guest, maybe someone who most of you won't be familiar with, but my old college roommate, Tyler O'Connor, is going to join us on the podcast. And no, I'm not just having him on because he's one of my buddies, but a guy really into the analytics and statistical side of baseball, someone who's working his way into that industry right now, has worked with University of Maryland baseball, working with Rutgers baseball, and trying to get his way into Major League Baseball on the data side of things. And he's made some baseball models that, you know, look at home run hitting, and we're going to bring him on tomorrow to talk about that model and talk about home runs and really key in on Renato Nunez tomorrow and how in the world he hit 31 homers in 2019 and what he could potentially do in 2020. So look forward to that. And then next week, we're going to have a mailbag episode. And remember, if you have any questions or comments on the Orioles, you can tweet them at Locked On Orioles or to me at Connor Newcomb _ or email us at LockedOnOrioles@gmail.com, and we will answer your questions on a future episode. And we'll also talk Norfolk Tides on an upcoming episode to finish out that minor league series. Because remember, earlier this week, if you want to go back, some couple great episodes, two-part conversation about the 2019 Bowie Bay Sox with their broadcaster Adam Pohl. That was one of our best conversations of the year so far about that incredible Bowie season last year. So if you like the pod so far, make sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you are listening right now. Give us a rating and a review if you can. Let us know what you think we're doing well, what you think we're doing not so well. It all helps us out in the long run. This has been the Locked On Orioles Podcast, part of Locked On Podcast Network.